Om Shanti, and a very warm welcome to this Valentine's Day evening, Valentine's gathering. And I'd like to invite those sitting at the back to please come forward. It is so unfortunate to be sitting here. I always feel like I'm too far away from you. So if you come forward, that makes it a little bit more like a gathering, which is so nice. Family gathering. Welcome. The benches up here are free. So it's very interesting that a holiday has been created to commemorate love. I'm sure there would be legends and specific stories connected to the actual creation and design of the holiday. For many, many years, I used to think it was just a business invention in order to get people to buy cards and chocolates and all of that. But I'm sure as these things go, there would be some story attached to it. And what might be even more surprising is that there would only be one such holiday dedicated to love. At least to my awareness, at least in the culture I grew up in, it would be only Valentine's Day, dedicated to the subject of love and loving relationships. And that is quite odd, isn't it, considering the incredible importance of love. Do you all love love? How many love love? If we're honest, and yet by the end of the cycle, this very thing we love would be bringing us the most challenges, correct? As if peace, as in Om Shanti, that's something we can work on completely on our own. But happiness and love requires relationships. And there could be so many challenges in our relationships. Brahmin to Lokic relationships, Brahmin to Brahmin relationships. As we reach the end of the cycle, just about every karmic account that's left to resolve is emerging. So that's amazing. The thing we all love the most is actually what creates the most challenges. So in this short hour together, I hope to look at two questions, and also a very interesting video, all of which kind of allows us to check in on the subject of love. Because when Baba talks about love, he's definitely not talking about the love that we've been working with for the last 2,500 years. That's clear, right? By now that's really clear. Human love, emotional love, with its ups and downs, with its dependencies on the external, that is not what he's talking about, fortunately. Fortunately, there's another love entirely. And I liked how one time, in the last few months, Baba was saying, "Gyan, you can explain. Yoga, you can't explain." I really like that. yoga, my relationship, that love relationship with Baba, very hard to explain. The best I feel I've been able to do, I mean, put my finger on that love from God. In other words, we're talking about godly, eternal, spiritual love, is that it is the energy which connects us, child to mother, father, supreme soul to the soul, and then from overflow, it's what connects me, the soul, to all my brother souls. So when that cable connecting funnel is clean and pure, that love flows. Now in the confluence age, it flows from the source, Baba, to me, and as overflow, it flows outwards between me and all other souls. But the challenge and the problem at the end of the cycle is that something's happened to that funnel. Something's happened to that cable carrying that energy. The cable itself, the funnel, has gotten corroded or polluted, damaged in one way or another. So what is coming to me in the confluence age, I mean really coming to me at every moment of the day, every day, I'm not able to feel it, either because it's leaking out before it gets to me through the corrosion in the pipe, call it a cable or a pipe, or the pollution that I have filled that pipe with. So that love doesn't have an easy passageway to me. And by the same token, I'm not then charging with that kind of energy which can clear a path in the pipe between me and another. So that's as best how I can understand it. I've often seen that peace is the kind of energy which anchors us in eternity, gives us roots, and provides stability. Joy moves us forward. That's the energy that keeps moving us forward. And love is the energy which naturally creates the family, the connectedness, the feeling of belonging. But again, it depends on that flow and that pipe, that pipeline, which is clean and pure, which is, of course, what Baba has come to do. He's come to purify us, and it starts with that pipe so that we can receive that love. So two questions that I hope we could kind of look at today, kind of explore them. I hope there'll be time for some interaction with you all. Valentine's love, relationship, by now we've understood that our only hope for making relationships with each other work is the extent to which I can get my relationship with Baba to work. It means to function adequately, powerfully, beautifully in my life. So one question is this. How am I using God in my life? Am I using God in my life? And if we don't like the word using God, we can say relevance. How relevant is God for me in my life? Because if God is not relevant, relevant is a very interesting word. Nothing else can be relevant. My relationship with nothing and no one else can be relevant, including my relationship with my own self. Means meaningful, relevant, meaningful, useful. How much have I been able to make God the center of the stage of my life? You know the classical definition of ego, right? E-G-O. E for edging, G for God, O for out. Edging God out. Ego. From the center of the stage of my life. Is it that I still make all the plans? I still make all the plans and then check in with God afterwards to get His stamp of approval? Or is it that my relationship with God at this point enables me to trust that actually He's in charge? And if I'm making a plan, He's got a plan too, so let's work together. Is it a partnership in which I really do, a big part of my preparation is to pick up His signals and otherwise just stay connected to Him? How relevant is God in my life? When there's a challenging person, challenge in a relationship, challenge with someone on a team I'm involved with, especially if it's another BK. Do I criticize, comment, correct? Is there still all that comparing going on? Or do I know that that's His job, that's not my job? And He does it so beautifully, so expertly in the Murli every day. And so I intend that He will take care of it. I don't get into that. How relevant is God in my life? How much am I using Him? And I can tell you, I've been experimenting with this for so long because I heard words like this a long time ago from one of the seniors. And every once in a while it just becomes so pertinent. Pertinent is another word for relevant. It becomes so meaningful because it is clear that one of the signs that I don't have this real experience of the relationship with God in my life, He's not the center of the stage of my life, is that nothing changes. Have you noticed? There are arenas in our life, relationships in our life, challenges which don't change. They might even seem to get a little worse over time. As if the whole of drama is to try to teach me this one lesson, which of course He says every day in every Murli. Turn to Me. I'm here for you. I'll resolve it with you. So one sign that he's not at the center, he's not yet enough relevant, is that same problems keep coming up again and again. Because when he is relevant and I am turning to him and I am drawing energy from him, love from him, power from him, that's new energy in the circuits for me. New energy in the circuits is what's needed for all these problems, which are possibly 2,500 years old, right? And with that light, that new light, I get to see that actually I'm really the problem. Yeah? And that light, that ability to see, not only shows me what it is that it's all about, what change it is that I have to make in my own self, but I also have the power then to change it. And then things can change. You would have seen this, right? All these difficulties are invitations to see and change something in myself. But to see it... Sorry, did someone say something? So, to see it and to have the power to change, this is actually what allows things to move forward. So this was the first question. How relevant have I made God in my life? Which is another way of saying, am I satisfied with the real experience I have of God being in my life? How real is the experience of God being in my life? That's it. So, second question, but actually maybe now's a good time to see that video that I wanted to show you, because it's a nice thing to kind of reflect on. How much has the relationship with God become a real experience for me in my life? So, Suresh Bhai, maybe now we can see this first video while we reflect on this question. And it has subtitles, so I'm going to read them out loud. I think that might be easier for the translators and also for those who don't read English very well or very quickly. What does it mean to raise my hand in front of Baba? What does it mean to raise the hand of my mind in front of Baba? Someone who does this, what does she or he look like? Suresh Bhai, there's music to this, yeah. Because all of our seniors became great because they have done this. And they really meant it. Have I really raised my hand, both physical and mental, in front of Baba? Those who feel that the Father said something, that it's the Father's duty to say something, and that it's the children's duty to do what the Father has asked, raise your hands. you staying constantly happy? Those who say that the Father is their world, raise your hand. As you finish your sanskaras, you will become equal to the Father. In the same way, become master bestowers, children of the bestower, and definitely serve through your mind. It's your right to achieve victory. Finish the past. Put a full stop. You've raised your hands, haven't you? Let the past be the past. Will you demonstrate it by claiming number one? Revelation will take place through the face and activity of each of you. You have to reveal the Father. You're doing that, but the voice should echo in everyone's ears that God has come. Our Father has come. Definitely it has to happen. Raise your hands to show it has to happen. Carefree emperors, raise your hands. Bhaktada is giving you blessings again and again. Have I really raised my hand? To many, many different BK audiences around the world. And it's very interesting because some of these audiences, BK audiences, they get right in there and raise their hands with so much enthusiasm. And others, like this gathering, must have been raising the hand of the mind, right? How many were raising the hand of the mind? Yes. A second question I wanted to look at is what I have referred to in the past as the multi-million dollar question. Are you ready for the multi-million dollar question? It's four parts. Each part is worth $1 million. So please take out your papers and pencils and be ready to see who answers. Or paper and pencil of your mind. Multi-million dollar question, four parts. Each part is worth millions. Okay, first part of the question is, are you ready? You can think about this. Are you ready? However you understand that at this point in time, however you understand Baba's explanations of this, but that's the first part. Are you ready? Second question, which is part of the main question, are you ready to be? Are you ready to be? However you understand that, you can respond. So far we are in the halfway mark of the multi-million dollar question. Are you ready to be? Third one? Are you ready to be loved? Are you ready to be loved? And this is the last part of the question, making it a fully multi-million dollar question. Now, it's a bit idiomatic, so my apologies to those who aren't English speaking as a mother language, but I will try to define it a little bit. Last part of the question is this. Are you ready to be loved to death? This is an expression in English. Love to death means you just love, another expression, you just love that person to bits. In other words, entirely, completely, totally. But then in our Brahman life, it takes a different meaning. Are you ready to be loved to death? Because this is what makes God the most relevant in our lives. He is the purifier. We know that all the problems come because the soul has become impure. So this is His duty. He is purifying us. But how have we understood? How? This love. melts out all those impurities. It's this love coming from Baba which just melts them. And some of us have already understood, especially if the years have gone by in our Brahmin life, that nothing else really changes those sanskaras. Nothing. You can try all the psychological tips, you can do all the investigations, research, unpacking that you want, all the workshops. But those sanskaras are so deeply embedded that it really is an extraordinary, magical tool at work at the confluence age, alone, which will do the work. His love. That love enables me to work with courage against my own stuff and against the stuff of others. But it is this love. Are you ready to be loved to death? So those are two very interesting concepts. Loved and then loved to death. What does it mean to die alive, as Baba says it? What does it mean to die alive? What do you say? Dying to the old sanskaras. Yes, anyone else? So you might want to stand or raise your hand so that I can see and then pick up what you're saying. Yes. Renounce, surrender to Baba, forget what was ever in your previous life, your Lokic life. Mm-hmm. To die alive. Anyone else? Who is speaking? Can you raise your hand? Yes. I can't hear you, brother. Can someone help me? What is he saying? I can't catch it. Can someone help me? I can't catch it. I'm so sorry. It's about relationship. I see. Okay, so to die alive, you get right at the root in the subconscious and cut it. You cut yourself off from all of that. Yes. Yes. Okay, so there's no influence from those past sanskaras, there's no effect. In effect, we become free from them, liberated from their influence and effect. Yes. Somebody else wanted to say something? Yes. Yes, finishing negative thoughts. And we do think about the present and the future? Yes. We die to the past. Mm-hmm. So, again, according to something a senior said many years ago, which I've been experimenting with, how is this for a definition? To die alive means to choose life. To die alive means to choose life, the kind of life Baba is pointing us towards. Soul conscious life, a life in which I have such a partner who's always available to me, who is always supportive of me, who backs me up, who's loyal to me, faithful to me. A life like that, where my Baba is really my Baba, carrying all the magic that he talks about when he says, just say my Baba and I will become present to help you. To die alive means to choose life, a life of living virtues. A life where I can, in every situation, in the teams I'm involved in the different relationships I have, I can be a giver. I can be a giver. It's absolutely finished, all that taking, which actually goes into the subconscious and can be so, so subtle. Nice definition of dying alive, isn't it? To choose life, choose, make a decision. Make a decision. So this would be going on all day long, which is often what we're doing. Mama was asked once, Mama, what are your efforts? And she said, I have learned, I am learning to that I have to die a little every day. What are your efforts? I am dying a little every day. So it's an ongoing attention that I'm paying to my feelings. Every time I'm hurt, every time I'm feeling left out, every time I'm feeling things aren't fair, make that decision. No, I choose life. Where is that going to lead me to if I continue with that old pattern? Like you were saying, we cut ourselves off from that, but there's a menu of options and I choose them, starting with turning towards my companion, turning towards my partner, and facing the thing together. And I was saying, anyway we do this, anyway we're constantly checking and changing, but here's where the difference is for this multi-million dollar question. When I've made that mistake, when I've let my own self down, when I've failed on my promises and my expectations, how do I feel? Do I still give time to feeling hopeless about myself? Discouraged about myself, discouraged about a situation, discouraged or hopeless about anyone or anything. Because this is where we come back to the multi-millions in this question. What is the key? The absolute key to being able to receive this love that God is definitely showering on me 24/7, as they say. What is the key? What would you say? In other words, very practically, because we would all like to experience that love more, correct? We would all like to experience that love more. And also more easily, more naturally. So what's the absolute key? Practically, simply, so that even when we leave this classroom, we have something to work with, which will open those gateways, clear out that pipeline, so that what is coming to me, I can receive it. What is it? What's the absolute key? Do you know? Hand, please, so I can... Yes, sister. To be combined with him all the time. What's the key to being able to be combined? Because again, we're talking about relevance. In other words, it has to be the real experience, not just a nice idea. Yes, sister, in the second row? My Baba. This is a big one. My Baba. It is true. There's magic in it that can open up the gateways sometimes for some of us, especially if we've really proved. And we've also really understood what that means, mine. Because, you know, this my Baba also requires us to have accepted that I belong to eternity. I belong to spirit and the unlimited. I don't belong to the puppet show. So this my Baba has power in it, but only after I've really decided, I've made this decision, that that's where I belong. And Brahmins really do belong to the unlimited. We're very uncomfortable and we can't really work things out unless and until we do become, like our father, bestowers in the puppet show. That's our only reason for being in the puppet show. And when our ability to bestow, to give, gets difficult, we suffer so much. So to make this decision, I am in it for giving, for the purpose of giving, and if I'm still suffering in the position of a giver, it's because I'm still giving from my stock, which by the end of the cycle will never be enough. That giving, as I was saying earlier, has to be only from overflow, the other end of what I'm receiving from him. So my Baba is powerful. There's magic in it, but there's something else which, even before my Baba, enables that belonging feeling sooner rather than later and more deeply. Anybody have an idea? Yes? Say that again. Can someone help me? Invoke that stage. Yes, this is very powerful, invoking the stage. This is almost like an example of what I was thinking of. Anybody else? Hands, please. You're going to have to stand, brother. Something happens with your voice. Merciful. For? Oh, mercy for the world, mercy for the people in the world. Okay, anyone else? The bottom line, very practical, we can leave this session and really work with this. The key to being able to experience his love, feel that love coming to me, receive that love, is my relationship with my own self. And this is connected to something else, which is also very practical. If we can't really relate to a relationship with my own self, how do I feel about my own self? There's another way of looking at it, which is we could say, well, no, actually, I think maybe it is important to stick with that. But very practically speaking, what we're really talking about is how much in my day I'm positive. That's very practical, very easy. Because if you really study Baba, he is the embodiment of positivity. He's so positive. There wouldn't be any player in the drama who would have more reason not to be positive than him. Considering when he gets to play his part and how, the challenges to the part that he comes to play, but he's never, never, never negative, is he? He's never against. He never opposes. He's always for. He is always standing for something very, very positive, elevated, uplifting. And so a very easy practical checkpoint of how I'm doing in terms of being able to clean out that pipeline, tune myself up, because set aside the analogy of a pipeline, love coming to me through a pipeline, we can also just see that Baba is sitting on a particular wavelength. It's a particular frequency of energy, very pure. It feels in the human experience like peace, like love. But to be able to tune up into that wavelength, I also have to be, if we want to be simple and practical, so positive. Anytime I'm working with opposition, negativity, doubts, confusion, that kind of hesitation, rejection, it accumulates. And over time, it's harder to experience God's love because I'm jamming the pipeline. And talk about subconscious. It's one thing to notice that I am commenting, correcting, criticizing. I still am reluctant and hesitant. I'm not embracing ideas of others themselves. That is easier to notice, but in terms of my own self, which is kind of another way of saying, deep, deep down, after 2,500 years, it's not a small thing what has happened to our self-respect and the feeling of being worthy for that love. Ultimately, we do have to look at it. So very practical, very simple tool to carry out and experiment with in order to increase my experience of God's love and really keep Him at the center of the stage of my life. Make that beloved partnership very, very tangible, very real. It's just simply, next time your mind comes up with anything which is less than elevated, less than true, less than how God would think or speak or do, one thing to say to your mind. One thing. Just simply, I'm good. This is an experiment. I've been experimenting with this. Because when the mind gets into that overdrive, overthinking, I'm thinking about a situation, what someone said, what someone did, what someone didn't say, what someone didn't do, and I'm in overdrive. What's the mind looking for? What's the mind looking for? It's really just looking to know itself as good. We're looking to know myself as good, or we're looking to know the situation as good, or we're looking to know the other as good. We put in all the gyan, all actors in the drama, each can play their part, whatever. But since the mind, that's what the mind is looking for, why not do the shortcut? Instead of that overdrive, which is very bad for that pipe, it corrodes it, overthinking, overanalyzing. So instead of that, cut to the quick. As soon as your mind gets into this stuff, just, I'm good. I'm good. Because this is the truth. And before we start our 7 o'clock meditation, I'll just leave you with this one point. Where all of this started for me was a few months ago. Papa gave a stellar point. He was saying, keep this one point in your awareness and all your bondages will be cut. Do you recall this? Keep this one point in your intellects and all your bondages will be cut. And what was the point? I am good. The Father is good, and the Dharma is good. And I've been experimenting with this, literally. As soon as that other kind of thought comes up with all those other colors and flavors, no thinking, no analyzing, no nothing. Cut to the quick. Remember, I'm very good. No matter what the 2,500 years has created in me, no matter how much I feel I've let myself down, I've not been able to maintain golden age standards, I've watched myself fail, independent of that, it wasn't my fault. Energy diminishes over the cycle. So, no, I'm good. The Father's good, the Dharma's good. I have seen in my experiments that this stock, as we build it, of self-respect, self-esteem, self-confidence, opens all the gates. And Baba becomes so real. Yes. Yes. Baba becomes so real, and that love becomes so real, and everything starts to become so easy. So thank you very much. Now we're going to enjoy a half hour with our beloved. It's a chance not only to reflect on all of these things. We have a very beautiful video to accompany us in this. But of course, how all this works is, as my mind and my heart can live more and more at this level of reality, that is serving all our brothers and sisters around the whole world. 7 to 7:30 meditation is that chance to serve the world. So thank you very much, and I hope you enjoy. Om Shanti.